This morning, I want to talk to you about something I think that we need to look at in a different way, and it's called obtaining the full measure of God's blessings. Obtaining the full measure of God's blessing. Now, God does not want us to know that He blesses us. He wants us to learn how to live in the full measurement. You know, there's a difference between knowing that something belongs to you and actually enjoying it. You can have money in the bank and still live like you're broke. You know, if somebody gives you a gift and you say thank you and you set it on the shelf, you never unwrap it, you never get the benefit of that gift. And I believe, really, sometimes Christians who that love God, they attend church, they pray, they read their Bibles, they want to please God, but they're living beneath the measure of blessings that God has for them. Now, I've heard my dad say that many times. People are living below the level that God would like for them to live in. Anybody ever hear him say that? I see several of you. Yes. Now, the minute you talk about God blessing you, everybody goes to money and material things immediately. And certainly God wants to bless us in those areas, but his blessings are much bigger than that. Stop and think about it for a minute. Peace is a blessing. Joy is a blessing. Wisdom is a blessing. A sound mind is a blessing. Guidance, God's guidance is a blessing. You know, strong family is a blessing. Good relationships are a blessing. You know, a real blessing is having the presence of God with us in the middle of a difficult situation. You know, blessings, we stop and think about it. God wants to bless us in every area of our life, not just in the financial area, the material area, and that's what people talk about. Now, sometimes people approach God like they have to beg him or talk him into the notion of blessing us. But God loved us before we ever loved him. You know, he had a plan for us before we ever understood it. Now, the question is God willing to bless us? The greater question is, am I living in a position where I can receive and walk in the full measure of God's blessings to me? Now, Ephesians 3, 16 through 20 is an interesting verse of scripture. Actually, it's a scripture that my dad read most every day, and I do the same thing, and I've told several of my family, my grandsons and several of them this, and it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with mind through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Now that Ephesians 3:20, everybody knows that all the time. People are saying that. But here, I want you to see Paul is praying for believers that already belong to Christ, yet he prayed that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. That tells me that there's more in God that we need to get a hold of: his presence, his wisdom, his strength, his purpose for us. Now, sometimes we measure God and his blessings according to where we are. You know, don't measure God by the provisions that you presently see. God is bigger than that. So I want to talk about some principles of obtaining the full measure of God's blessing. First of all, we must know that God is the source of every good blessing. God is the source. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. You know, before we can walk in the fullness of all of his blessing, we have to have it settled that God is our source. You know, people may be an instrument or a channel. A job may be an instrument. A business may be an instrument. A doctor may be an instrument. A friend may be. An opportunity may be an instrument. But we got to realize God is our source. There is danger in confusing the channel that God uses with the source, and that's not the source. Now, how many of you turned on the faucet this morning and water flowed out? Well, that's part of you. I hope everybody did. Now, you receive water through the faucet, but the faucet didn't create the water. It was only the channel. In the same way, God may use employment. He may use opportunities. He may use an encouraging word from somebody at the right time. But let's not attach the channel as the source and forget that God is the source. See, sometimes we fail to realize that God uses many different ways to bless us. Come on now. You know, sometimes when God does bless, some people get upset because it's not the way they wanted it to happen. You know, years ago, there was a young man. He was praying that God would provide finances for his tuition. Well, his tuition came in, and they told him to come by the office so they could tell him, hey, your tuition been paid for this month. Well, he said, well, I'd like to know how did that happen? He said it this way. He said, did my parents do it? And they said, yes. He said, I won't accept it. You see, he wanted it, and they finally convinced him. They said, did your parents even know that you were short and needed the finances? No, they didn't know nothing about it. Well, then why do you think that they sent the money in? See, sometimes we are so caught up in the channel and the way we want it to happen that we don't let God work. Come on now. Don't sit down on me now just because I'm preaching good. You know, Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, every time people put monetary value here, material things, money, so forth and so on, But that says all your needs. And our needs include a whole lot more than just finances or material things. See, his supply is not limited. When you need wisdom, God's got it. When you need strength, God's got it. When you need direction, God's got it. When you need peace, when you need courage, when you need grace for another day, God's got it. Sometimes we consider blessing in one area and never realize he blesses us in every area. I pray many times when I pray for people. Sometimes they ask me to pray for them. Well, they don't really say what they need. So I just begin to pray and I say, Lord, bless them in every area of their life. And I call every area. I say, bless them physically, mentally, socially, emotionally, every way. You know, you know, suppose you're sitting at a table and it's got all that good food on it out there, all that good stuff that I like. I'm going to name what I like, you know. Got some fried chicken and got some pinto beans and some big beefsteak tomatoes, some fried okra. See, some of you don't even know some of that stuff. And you sat there talking to the people. Oh, I'm so hungry. Oh, I'm just about to starve to death. I'm so hungry. And you're sitting at the table. You know, sometimes we're born again. We're sitting at the table, but we're going to have to reach out and get it. How do you do that? Through the Word of God. Through this Word. And this Word has something for every area of your life. Physically, mentally, socially, emotionally, financially, every way. Right here. So many people say, oh, well, that's the spirit side. Well, yeah, it is the spirit side. But did you ever notice God, when God is talking, he talks about the natural side too? God wants us, you know, I pray for parking places. And it works. You know, Lynette and, I don't know, Byron and Craig and, not Craig, but Cameron and some of them, they were, oh, it's been a couple years ago, they went to one of these trade shows, you know, where we get these, you see these bouncy deals that the kids play on and some of these other things. Well, that's where you get those. Well, they were sort of late leaving and they knew they was going to have, oh, we'll have to park way back because it's a huge, actually it's where any amusement park or any of these little game places, they all come for stuff. And I mean, it's a huge, huge building. And so they said, well, we'll just drive up here, telling Lynette, we'll just drive up here and let you out. And she said, no, I'm believing for a parking place. Well, they was pulling up there, you know, and every place. And just as they were getting up there, a car backed out right at the entrance. So they got it. And so they made a believer out of them. You know, when we have a problem, God is our source. When we don't know what to do, God can give us wisdom. In fact, he says in James, it said, if you need wisdom, ask for it. He says, he'll give us strength. See, our confidence is not in the channel that God uses to get the blessing to us. Our confidence is in he is our source. You may have a job, but God is your source. Now, next, we must put God first. I'm talking about being in line to receive all the blessings from God. Matthew 6:33, you know that's where I'm going. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I like the NLT says, seek the kingdom of God above all things, live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So, in order to receive the blessings, we got to put God first. He needs to be first in everything we do. First, we need first in our decisions before we ever make it. He must be our first priority, our first relationships, and for our first in finances, our first in schedules, first in everything. You know, y'all probably heard some people say that, well, okay, now let's pray about it. And somebody said, well, has it come to that? Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. Well, hey, that should be the first thing you do. So many times we try to figure out how to handle every problem, every situation that comes to us in the natural, and finally we go to him in prayer. Now, I'm talking about me. I've done this before. I know you. None of you have ever done anything like that, so I'm not throwing up. I'm just saying that can happen. Okay? Anybody ever been there? Well, I got 25 people in my, I got company. Good. I'm glad. At least I'm not by myself. You know, we're talking about God first, okay? All right. Now, this shirt has buttons on it. If this first button does not get in the first buttonhole, if it got in the sand, everything is out of kilter. That's what happens in your life when God is not first. Come on now. You know, first in everything you do. Now, sometimes we ask God to straighten out things in our life when actually we need to straighten out something in the natural. I've heard my dad tell a lot of people this. He'd say, you got to ask God for forgiveness, and then he'll help you. One time, this minister, Dad, they were at a big convention, and he had preached that night, and it was cold outside, and he had been perspiring, and he went out into the cold air, didn't have anything on or anything, and the next morning he was all stopped up, and he's come up, Brother Hagin, I got to speak again this afternoon. Would you pray for me? And Dad looked at him and said, I will if you'll repent first. And he said, what? He said, you didn't use the common sense that God gave you. You come off of that platform, preaching, went right out into that cold, cold air. Your shirt was wet from perspiration. You had perspiration on your forehead and that cold air, and that's what caused the problem. Now, God will heal you, but you got to ask forgiveness for being dumb. Come on now. I know that's a silly illustration, but does that not describe us sometimes? Hello. You see, when we're facing trouble, we need to go to God first. And we all know where we're going with this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I'm going to read the NLT. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own strength. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Before you make a major decision, you better talk to God. Before you respond in anger, you need to pray. Before you allow fear to dictate you, you need to quote the Word of God. Come on now. Putting God first in everything is not, you say, well, and God, sometimes, you know, we're praying for a door to open, and God don't open that door. Maybe he don't open that door because he knows that that door is going to lead you to heartache. So he's trying to protect you. Now, let's go to another one. We must walk in obedience to God's word. Anybody getting anything? Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord. Now, I like this because it talks about blessings overtaking you. If you are doing the things that I've been talking about, and some others, then you don't have to chase the blessings. The blessings will be chasing you. You know, a lot of people spend their whole time chasing the blessing. Oh, Lord, bless me. Oh, Lord, bless me. He's already blessed you. Why don't you just believe what the Word of God says? In fact, my dad told me, he said, son, don't ever pray, Lord, bless me. Pray, Lord, make me a blessing, and you'll get blessed. You know, obedience. Now, we don't like that statement. But obedience puts you in a position to experience all that God has for you. Now, sometimes when we read the Word and we get the instruction from the Word of God, it goes against our grain. We want to do something else. You know, God's not trying to deprive us of anything. He wants to bless us. Now, you know, if you correct a child. I know my dad corrected me one time at that parsonage there in Farmersville. We didn't have a light. I mean, this is, you're talking about, you know, in the early 40s. And it was one of these, it's behind the couch, and you just had to screw the bulb or unscrew the bulb to get the light. We didn't have no lamps or nothing out here. And it was, I don't know whether y'all, you may not, some of y'all, I know some of you never seen, some of you have, but it was just the brass deal that you screwed into. Anybody ever seen those? And so we didn't have a light bulb in it. I'm standing up on the couch and I'm going, And my dad's sitting over in the corner at the desk studying. He says, son, quit that. That'll bite you and hurt you. Okay, Dad, and I wound up in the floor because my hand slipped off and went down, and I was touching the side here, and I was touching down there and made the connection, and I got shocked. I found out when I was 4 years old, don't mess with electricity. It'll hurt you. You see, God sometimes might say, no, don't go that way. But that's really what you want to do. But, you know, you got to do, if you go on your own, you're going to be in trouble. You know, God is trying to help us. You know, this is our instruction manual right here. You get a new car, you get a new refrigerator, washer, dryer, microwave, any kind of appliance. Have you ever noticed there's always a manufacturer's handbook there? Anybody ever notice that? What happens when you don't read the handbook? Usually there's a problem, right? This is God's handbook. He made us. He knows how we operate. He knows all about us. So if you want to be blessed, you got to read his instruction manual. Okay? Actually, Joshua 1:8, yeah, most of you know this anyway, but I'm going to read it from the NLT. It says, study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. So what is it saying here? Know the word. Meditate in the word. Speak the word. Then you will have success in all that you do. You will succeed or prosper in all that you do. Now, obedience is tough sometimes. Obedience means forgiving somebody when they have not apologized. Obedience means keeping quiet when everything in you wants to yell back. Obedience sometimes is walking away from something you desperately wanted. Sometimes it means waiting when you really want to go. I'm going to say this. Whatever obedience costs you today is less than what disobedience will cost you tomorrow. That's a pretty good statement. I believe I'll say that again. Obedience, whatever obedience costs you today is less than the obedience, disobedience will cost you tomorrow. You will never lose in the long run by obeying God. Have you ever noticed that sometimes in the natural, it's really good in the short run, but if you look at it, it's not good for the long distance. Hello. Now, let's look at another one. Get it? We must trust God even when we can't see the blessing. And, of course, we go to faith here, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is some things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith deals with things we can't see. If they were already visible, why do you need faith? I know I've heard my dad and ask people, when are you going to believe you receive? They say, when I have it. He said, what do you got to believe for then? You know it. Faith is knowing that we have it when we can't feel it, touch it, smell it, or know anything about it. That's what faith is. Faith is there when we don't have the immediate results. Abraham received the promise, but the complete fulfillment wasn't to many years later. And in Romans 4:20 and 21, it says that he did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that he had promised what he had promised, he was able to perform. You know, faith says, I don't understand, but I believe God. Faith says, there's a problem, but my problem is not greater than God. You know, sometimes there may be a period of time between the asking and the receiving. Anybody ever been there besides me? That's when you have to stand strong in faith. We live in a world where we want everything instantly. You know, they started, the restaurants and stuff started the drive-thrus because people wanted to be served faster. And now, sometimes, it's faster to go inside, park and go inside, than it is to sit in the line that's supposed to make it easier and faster. Faith keeps believing God when everything looks like it's not going to happen. You see, don't throw away your confidence, just keep believing God. Just keep believing God. Now let's go to one here that we need to talk about a little bit. We must develop a heart of gratitude for what God has already done. Now we'll go to Psalms 103, 1 through 5 in the NLT. Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sin. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercy. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Now David here is talking, and he says, let me praise the Lord with everything I got, on my whole heart. He says, and he names the benefits that God has given him. You know, we have an amazing ability to remember what and talk about what went wrong more than what went right. That's human nature. The news could talk about all the great things that's happening, but they never talk about anything but the negativity, all the negative things. They never even mention the other. You know, we have that of sometimes we remember the door that closed, and we never praise him for all the doors he has opened. Come on now. I see some of you looking at me sort of funny, but that's true. Sometimes we become so focused on what God hasn't done yet that we're not thanking him for what has already been accomplished. Come on now. I've talked to people, and they're talking about, you know, what didn't happen, what this didn't happen, that didn't happen, this didn't happen. And I look at them and I say, well, listen, has any good things happened? Oh, yeah, God's really been good to me. I said, well, why don't you praise him for the good things that he's done and for what he's going to do now? You see, there's a key in praise or being thankful or gratitude that we fail to miss. And I did several lessons about praise. It's in a book out there called The Untapped Power of Praise. God dealt with me, in fact. He said, many of my people are not missing it in their faith. They're missing it in their praise. You see, we need to continue to praise God when it doesn't look like it and when it's great. When we don't feel good and when we feel bad. We need to praise God in every situation. You praise Him not because of the problem, but because He's going to work it out and turn it around for good. That's what He says in Romans. All things work together for good, those that love God. He didn't say all things was good. And that really what the meaning there is, if you'll love me and praise me and thank me, I will turn this thing around. Sometimes we need to have gratitude. And Dan kept encouraging us this morning to worship Him, praise Him. You know, I understand that everything may be sideways, but I'm going to praise God anyway, because that's temporary. In the middle of all of my situations, I'm going to praise God anyway. Because Paul says they're temporary. But God and His promises are forever, and He is faithful to do what He said He would do. Sometimes we need to realize that when we're going and saying, okay, God, this is what You said, I'm expecting it to happen. We're not ordering God around. We're just telling Him what He said in His Word. And you praise Him for it. You know, I may not understand what's happening right now, but I thank God that He's going to bring it all out, and I pray, give Him praise for it. I don't dwell on what's not happening. I dwell on what's going to happen, and I praise God for that. You know, I may not understand where I'm at and what's going on right now, but I thank You that You've never left me. Now look at Philippians 4:6. Don't worry in NLT. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. See, right here, after you tell Him what you need, you thank Him for all that He's done. Then, look at what it says. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. When you're in peace, the devil can't come and all these thoughts, because you're resting in God, you're resting in His peace. When you're praising Him for what He has done, it strengthens your faith. You know, look back over your life and see what God has done. Remember the doors He's opened. Remember the prayers He's answered. Remember the seasons when you thought you wasn't going to make it, but you're still here because He brought you through. Come on now. Why do we get through all of the circumstances and the situations that we have in life? Because God is faithful. Say it, God is faithful to perform His word. And I am faithful to give him praise. See, when we begin to recognize God as our source, and we put him first, and we walk in obedience to his word, we develop a heart of gratitude, and then we expect God to do what he said he would do. So, don't settle for less than God's fullness. He gave us his word. He gave us his spirit. He's given us access to his very presence. He said that we could walk boldly into the throne of God. He's given us wisdom and peace and strength. Don't settle for less than God has for you. Put him first, walk in obedience, keep believing, stay thankful, and expect God to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think. That's just a little oratorical reminder to you of that if you want to have the fullness of all the blessings of God, there's some things that we have to do ourselves. Now, people always want God to do it all. God's already done it all. Now, we're the ones that have to do something. And one of the things we have to do is obey what the Word of God says and do what the Word of God tells us to do. Everybody stand, please. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, did you get anything? Now, point to yourself. I received tonight, today, and I'm going to walk in all the fullness of the blessings that God has for me. And now put your hands up and thank him for it. Father, we thank you right now. Every blessing is coming our direction. We thank you, Father, for it. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Well, you may be seated. If you happen to be in this place today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you can experience all of these things because we have to receive him as our personal Savior. Or you say, I know what it is to serve him, but I've got off track and I need to come back and rededicate my life. If there's anybody like that in this room right now, I want you to raise your hand so I can pray with you and pray for you. Anybody upstairs, downstairs, anywhere, you need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. You know you're not living the way you're supposed to live. I'm going to give it just a moment. There's a hand right there. Thank you. Is there any others that would raise their hand? This is a time to change. This is a time to get yourself in position so you can receive the benefits of God himself. If you raise your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to do one other thing. I want you to step out in the aisle, come right down here. I'm going to pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came right now. I'm waiting on you. Come on. If you raise your hand, should have raised your hand, come on right now. Wanted to raise your hand. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We'll wait just a minute. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. Now it's time to change your life forever. Thank you, Jesus. chance out here and we pray with Andrew. Andrew, we come now to the throne of grace, asking him to either restore you or save you for the first time. I thank you that your every spiritual need will be met today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.